to Fallujah now, where the U.S. military says its first goal is largely accomplished. Eliminating the city is a major safe haven for insurgents. The next steps are more difficult: holding the city, providing security, and meeting its citizens' basic needs. U.S. troops have not allowed the Iraqi Red Crescent into the city, saying the military will provide for civilians who stayed there. NPR's Anne Garrels traveled into Fallujah today with Marines launching a relief effort.
Early this morning, Iraqis hiding in the northern part of Fallujah awoke to loudspeakers moving through the deserted streets. "Honest people of Fallujah," the message went. "The Iraqi army and the coalition are here to help you." Civilians were urged to pick up food and water at two mosques. Colonel Fred Tucker, the commander of the 7th Marine Regiment, came to promote this first effort in the Hearts and Minds campaign.
"Please get the word out that we have food available and water, and also that we'll be able to start employing, putting some men to work, helping to clean up the city."
About 20 men emerged seemingly from nowhere, holding up white flags as they walked toward the Muhajirin Mosque. The Americans organized the aid, but in their continuing efforts to put an Iraqi face on this whole operation, they had Iraqi troops distribute it. The troops frisked the men as they entered the mosque courtyard, concerned insurgents might infiltrate the group and blow everyone up. Everyone's story was the same. They sent their families out of the city and stayed to protect their house from looters. Abdul Hamid Aliawi says the U.S. offensive was the only way to rid the city of insurgents who had terrorized the population. He hopes the insurgents can't come back. Several men asked to stay at the mosque under Marine protection. Jason Holler, a Navy corpsman, was on hand to treat any sick or injured. His sole patient was a middle-aged man with gunshot wounds to his hand that had not been treated in days.
"It's very infected. I guess what happened was he refused to stash weapons from the terrorists, and so they shot him for it. What we're going to try and do is get him to a hospital so that we could possibly save his hand."
But the Marines posting guard around the mosque were suspicious of everyone and every story, and in some cases their suspicions proved correct. When Marines took one man back to his house, they saw someone inside cooking a huge pot of food, a curious sight since the man had said he had nothing to eat. They searched the house and found a suicide vest, 40 garage openers used to trigger improvised bombs, and a complete mortar. Suddenly, word came through the radio that an insurgent sniper had killed one of the civilians making his way towards the second mosque. Marines moved over there.
"We're going to move quickly down the street and enter through the blown hole in the wall here. Go into the Hydra Mosque and we'll talk to the senior guys."
Marines covered each other as they ran past alleyways. By the time they arrived, fear had ripped through the crowd of 50 or so waiting for bottled water, and most had fled. Marine Major Mike Zakea, an advisor to the Iraqi army, watched the aid program evaporate.
"Yeah, I'm sure the word is spread, and you know, that'll probably be it for today, unfortunately."
Almost no one has dared approach the mosque since. Colonel Tucker's jobs program was also put on hold. Plans to have men clean up the streets have been postponed because of fears insurgents will use this as a cover to plant more roadside bombs. With little opportunity to show concrete improvements, a colonel with the Iraqi Army's 5th Battalion has told his American counterpart it's imperative the U.S. and Iraqi governments do more to counter the outcry in the Arab world over the U.S. offensive. He says pressure is mounting on Iraq's Shiite religious leaders to condemn the Iraqi armed forces for participating in the assault. He says that would be a devastating blow for the new army. He is urging the U.S. to permit the Iraqi Red Crescent organization to enter the city. The colonel, who asked that his name not be used to protect his family, says the Red Crescent services may not be needed, but locking it out has fueled what he calls false reports about large numbers of civilian casualties. Anne Garrels, NPR News, Fallujah.